I wanted to tell you I have no financial disclosures, and I wanted to remind you of information that you already know, but rather to set the stage. Basically, in the United States, heart disease and obesity are prevalent. Heart disease is the number one cause of mortality, affecting 1 in 5 Americans. Obesity affects 34% of Americans and increases the risk for heart disease. Obesity itself is a major independent risk factor for heart disease. Heart disease is the leading cause of death globally, and it accounts for 30% of deaths worldwide. We know that obesity imparts mortality. Obese individuals have a greater risk of death from all causes, and most of those deaths are due to cardiovascular causes. Both obesity and heart disease have very strong genomic links. If we look at a study of family history done in Salt Lake City, family histories were collected on all high school students. Those family histories were then assessed, and the high-risk families were visited by public health nurses who discussed the risk status with the families and offered lifestyle changes that would mitigate those risks. Those families were then followed up in 5 years and again in 10 years. And what they found in the 5 and 10 year follow-up was that people appreciated being apprised of their risk and that they had adopted enduring healthy behaviors. So the purpose of my study was to wed family history, obesity, and heart disease. I explored a family history of heart disease and compared it to the patient's perception of risk with their actual risk in an overweight and obese population seeking advanced practice nurse or nurse family nurse practitioner care. The key question was whether the perception of risk differed from the actual risk status. My methodology was descriptive and cross-sectional in design. I had a convenient sample of 175 subjects who were at least 40 years of age with a BMI of over 25. They were asked to complete a couple questionnaires. One regarded their demographics and the other was a three-generational family history. And then following the family history, they were asked to rate their perceived risk as average, moderate, or high of premature heart disease. So what did this sample look like? Well, the mean age was 54 with standard deviation of 9 and the range of 40 to 88 years of age. The mean BMI was 31 with a range of 25 to 61, standard deviation of 8.8. The majority were female, 70%, which wasn't too surprising because women tend to visit healthcare providers more than men, and also because 3 of the 4 nurse practitioners who owned and operated their practices and were the sole primary health care provider for these respondents were women. And women tend to seek the care of women. 60% of the sample were married without children at home, 60%. 50% had some college education. 38% were employed in active occupations, and they rated this, and 29% in sedentary occupations, and the rest was a mix, and 50% owned a dog. When we looked at annual household income, the most predominant income was $20,000 to $40,000 a year, and it was flanked on either side but lower in less than $20,000 a year or between $40,000 and $60,000 a year. The respondents, as I said, were queried in terms of their perceived risk of heart attack, rating it average, moderate, or high. And I, as the investigator, used Schooner's instrument to risk stratify as average, moderate, or high risk based on the number and the relationship of relatives affected. And just as an example, if you're not familiar with Schooner's tool, if you had two first-degree relatives who'd suffered premature MI, that subject would be rated as high risk. If you had two second-degree relatives from the same lineage who had suffered premature MI, the subject was placed in a moderate risk group. And if none of the relations were affected by premature MI, the subject was rated in the average risk group. So what did the family history look like of the respondents? Well, basically, I defined premature heart attack as an MI of at less than 55 years of age. So 39% of the fathers had the MI at less than 55 years of age, 15% of the mothers, 10% of the siblings. And when we looked at second-degree relatives, the grandparents, the grandfathers exceeded the grandmothers with 44% and 30% respectively. So how did our subjects perceive their risk of MI? Basically, 67% of the respondents rated their self-perceived risk of heart disease as average to moderate. But in reality, with risk stratification, more than 55% were classified as high risk. So how did that look when those numbers were separated out and parsed out? On the left side, you'll see the risk stratification, the actual risk stratification, and on the right side, you'll see perceived risk. And you'll see in perceived risk, they relatively fell out with a third in each category. So what did this suggest? Well, it suggested that there was a significant underestimation of risk. The P was less than 0.004, suggesting a very poor understanding of the importance of family history to premature heart disease and also the application of it to self. So we get to the so what factor. Why is this important? And the answer is based on this premise that genetic susceptibility is not health destiny, and the belief that family history can be used simultaneously to not only predict risk, but predicting risk segues into informing and strategizing healthy behaviors and lifestyle changes. So how does family history fit into the models of behavioral change and health promotion? Well, it addresses susceptibility, it addresses severity, it addresses the benefits in the health belief model, and in the trans-theoretical model, there's a mathematic relationship that says that the more positives you have for behavioral change, the more likely one is to move from contemplation to preparation, from preparation to action. So by rebooting family history, we can engage in a tailored message if we first of all translate family history and make it meaningful. If we realize that there are gaps in understanding in terms of what family history means. And recall that many people feel like they apply family history as I have Aunt Mildred's ears, or I have Uncle Joe's nose, or I have the personality of my grandfather, but they don't really see what family history means in terms of their health status necessarily. So we need to make family history meaningful, and we need to personalize it. And it's a beautiful way of individualizing a tailored message regarding strengths and risks in their inherent in their family history. If we deliver the message, and forgive my metaphor, but I can't think of anything as strong. If we deliver the message that genetics loads the gun and environment pulls the trigger, we can segue into healthy behaviors to change the environment. And finally, bring the family into the picture. Family history can act as a catalyst in risk reduction, promoting healthy behaviors for the entire family. So in summary, reboot family history and mine it for its priceless data. Family history is an easy-to-use genomic tool. It's inexpensive. And coupled with validated risk stratification tools, we can offer a tailored message that's personalized of genomic strengths and risks to not only to the individual, but also to the family. Thank you very much.
Any questions?
You know, to be honest, I think that science is in unfolding, and I just was at a session for epigenetics, and I'd say the impact is just, just mammoth. I think that you're right on the right track with the question. The answers are looking stronger and stronger that this has such a ripple effect, not only for the individual and for the family, but the family's family and the family's family family in making those positive behavioral changes.
Yes.
Schooner's tool actually does look at cancer itself, but in answer to your question, I actually did ask about diabetes, and I asked about family history of obesity and hypertension. I miscalculated because I think most of the respondents themselves probably already, so when I asked about risk of hypertension, many of them already had hypertension, already had diabetes, and certainly already were experiencing overweight or obesity. And so those effects were not nearly as dramatic. And I had chosen 40 years of age because I thought they'd have a rich personal history as well as a rich family history. And I wasn't so convinced if they were younger if they would have that.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much.